Welcome to Living Faith Fellowship in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Now, Associate Pastor Austin shares stories and devotionals from the most recent youth camp. We pray that God will use this week's episode to speak to you directly. And now, to Austin.
Okay, Michaela, you're going to be first. Here's a mic for you. So just don't hold the bottom of it. It gets a little silly. All right, Michaela, what is one takeaway that you got from camp?
Like from the sermon or like the whole thing?
From the whole camp. What's one takeaway that you have?
I think it was probably Paul's sermon on, devotional on prayer, because I feel like I'm kind of bad at praying. So it helped me kind of get like some tips on how to feel like I pray better.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really good. That's not the Apostle Paul, by the way. There was a gentleman on the camp staff whose name was Paul, and he shared with us a passage of scripture from John 17 where we looked at Jesus's high priestly prayer, where Jesus is praying to God the Father. But then we also were cross-referencing and bouncing back and forth with Matthew 6, where we look at what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer, or the disciples' prayer, the model prayer, where Jesus taught his followers, us included, on how we can pray. So next, we're going to be passing it over to Ella. So Ella, during one of the morning devotionals, we spoke about Jesus, where he said that he is the light of the world, and then we talked about us walking in that light from the book of Ephesians. What does that look like to you, to walk in the light?
So I would say to walk in the light was not only to follow Jesus in Jesus' steps, but also to be like on fire for the Lord.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome. Thank you so much. To be on fire for the Lord. So we're going to pass it all the way down to Christian. So if you have not met Christian, Christian's been working here at Living Faith Fellowship now for I think about 3 weeks and came all the way from the East Coast, from Virginia. Yeah, I was going to say the great state, and then I was like, I don't know if it's great. I've never been there, really. So, but I'm sure, Christian, that you think it's great.
It's pretty good.
So one thing that we did while we were at camp, some of the rafts did it. I don't know if everyone did it. I did it in my truck because I got it from another camp that I attended. So I didn't come up with it, but it's called Hilo Buffalo. And so what you would do is for that day, you would have your high, your low, and your buffalo. Buffalo was just something that was weird, out of the ordinary. Like, man, that was crazy, and I'm never going to forget that. So Christian, from the overall camp experience, not just an individual day, but the overall camp, what is your high, low, and buffalo?
So my high would be the Lord really blessed and provided a great camp staff that we got to be led by. And how that, you know, looked was we were, you know, rafting, climbing mountains, whatever we were doing, whenever there was a pause, like anytime there was a free moment to say something, the staff would like ask us to share testimonies with each other, and they'd ask us deep questions. And because of that, the Lord used them to cause a lot of great conversations. And I feel like we were able to bond a lot better as a group and a church because the Lord was working through that staff. So that was just amazing. And I've never had a staff in my entire life that did that good at just letting the Lord use them to cause our conversations. So the second part of that high is I feel like I know my brothers and sisters so much better now because of how the Lord worked.
That's awesome.
My low is definitely going to be having to wait 7 or 3 days a week to see all my friends now because, you know, we're not waking up in the same area. But I'm hoping they're all coming to Wednesdays and Sundays as much as possible.
I think your low should be cold water.
I didn't want to make it about...
Christian does not like cold water whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm a little baby. There was one time when Sawyer was pulling me into the water, and I was like, if I fell into that water, I would have had to apologize for how I treated him. But and then my buffalo, there was... a lot of fun games that we got to play that you guys are going to have to ask to be taught how to play. And you're going to be very annoyed at how these games go, but they were one of the highlights. We just had so much fun playing these silly games and riddles and took up a lot of time that we were really having fun with.
Yeah. Christian is really smart when it comes to solving riddles. I give up and walk away because I'm frustrated. All right, let's pass it over to Jacob. So, Jacob, what was your favorite part of camp?
So I think my favorite part of camp was just being able to grow in Jesus, especially. Kind of going off what Christian said as well. Being able to grow closer to also, like, your brothers and sisters in Christ and your family. At first, like, there's some people you didn't know, and it didn't really feel like family. But even just, like, through that, just that first day, it's just, you're family. And I think Jesus, it's God's work. And it was really inspiring to me and hopefully all the other people that went to camp. So, yeah, that was my all-time
greatest thing. Amen. Awesome. Let's pass it over to Braden. All right, Braden. So as you saw in the videos, guys, we did have a sermon at one of our evening chapels where we talked about a passage of scripture out of John chapter 13. If you're not familiar with it, I would highly encourage you to read it. You can read it this afternoon. And in there, for the context, it's the night before the crucifixion, and Jesus washes his disciples' feet. Think about that. Still others-centered, with others on his mind, the night before he would take the cross, and the night before that Judas would betray him, and he washed the feet of his betrayer. So from that experience, Braden, and from the small groups that we had, where we broke in to actual small groups and washed each other's feet, what did you take away from that experience?
I took away that Jesus was willing to do the weirdest things and the most awkward things, and not even just the serious things like his death. He was willing to wash his disciples' feet and do those small things as well that we aren't comfortable doing and we don't love doing, but he did it anyway for all of us as an example for us of how to serve others. And that sometimes it isn't easy, but it's what we're called to do.
Absolutely. My takeaway was that feet are gross. But I do believe that everything you do it for the glory of God. So I believe that Christian had the cleanest feet when we were done. There's a video out there. Ask Christian. All right, let's pass it over to CJ. CJ, what was your most memorable moment from camp?
Definitely washing the feet. No doubt.
Absolutely. I think that was for everybody. Once you get past the fear of washing your friend's feet, it's not that weird. I think it's more weird to get your feet washed. Have you guys ever thought about it, though? And we talked about it there at camp because we almost all had to make a joke out of it to even be able to do it. But have you ever thought about the seriousness of it, of that Jesus, God Almighty, who left perfect heaven, who created the people whose feet he's washing? I mean, who should be washing whose feet here, right? And he humbles himself, and he gets down, and he washes the disciples' dirty, nasty feet. They've been walking all around those dirty, dusty roads, kind of similar to our feet at camp. But think about God Almighty, King of Kings, washing your feet. Is that not just mind-boggling? You know, in the book of Philippians, we're told that Jesus humbled himself to the point of death. Yes, even death on a cross. Man, you talk about humility. Let's pass it over to Michaela. We'll go back through with another question for each person. So Michaela, from John chapter 13, that same passage of scripture, we talked about how that ties into as us as Christians, how we should serve others. What does that look like to you, serving others?
I'd say just like helping people with the small things. Like if someone drops their books at school or something, help them and like just be nice to them. Don't make fun of them or something like that. Yeah.
What about cleaning up your room?
Oh boy, we don't talk about that.
I got you, Scott. Yeah. All right, let's pass it over to Ella. Ella, what was your favorite part of camp?
I would say hearing other people's testimonies and worshiping Jesus.
Awesome. Yeah, people's testimonies is a really powerful thing to hear. Where they were, and then what God's done for them, and who they are in Christ. That's awesome. All right, let's see. Next is going to be back to CJ.
This isn't an order.
There's no order. All right. In John 10, we talked about following Jesus as our shepherd because we know his voice. How would you explain that?
Well, I mean, it just goes back to the sheep thing. There was a reference that one of our guides, Jackson, made, and he said, he was talking about a story about these shepherds back in the day. Well, not back in the day, but whatever. He would call out the sheep's names, and they would actually come back to the said shepherd. And I mean, that's kind of how you could describe us with the Lord.
That's awesome. Like sheep following the shepherd, right? All right, so let's go over to Braden. Was that good enough order for you?
Yeah.
So, Braden, what was your high-low Buffalo?
I would say my high had to have been the rock climbing day, the atmosphere of encouragement, and, you know, it didn't matter what was going on, who was up on the rocks, who was down on the ground, there was always encouragement, there was always that atmosphere of, you know, you've got this, keep going, and that was really cool to see, even with people who didn't know each other necessarily. So that was really awesome to me. My low had to have been the mornings. They were not necessarily warm. So that was not delightful. And my Buffalo was definitely the washing of the feet. Even though it was mostly the words when Noah, our guide, said, "You will be doing this." It was that was the most awkward, but that was definitely an interesting moment of, okay, we're actually doing this. This is weird. So that was my Buffalo.
All right, let's get it over to Jacob. So Jacob, what would be not just a takeaway, but a spiritual takeaway of coming back from camp? What do you see that will be different now in your life?
So I think personally for me, so our guides, they were really encouraging. They were really inspirational. Everything they said was just wise, whether it being funny or being serious about Jesus and the Lord. But when we had to wash, like, the feet, it was pretty weird at first, but after you got done with it and we talked about it, it was definitely humbling. You know, you're really like, you know, it's like this huge joke. You're like, oh, this is really weird. And I don't think you thought it was very weird, but just knowing that the perfect man of the world, he came down and he did that for those people. It's mind-blowing, honestly. And I think that's just going to stick with me. It's just that humbleness and just those feelings attached to that.
That's awesome. All right, Christian, you're the last one here. As you can tell, guys, washing other people's feet sticks out to everyone. So, Christian, after everybody had left on Friday evening and we'd all packed up and ready to go home, I took you home. Mm-hmm. And so you told me on the drive to your house that you had high expectations going into the camp, but that they were exceeded. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so I've been to multiple camps a year for probably 18 years straight now, and as a leader and a student. So I've had a lot of experiences with youth camps, and I don't think I've ever been to one that I didn't like really enjoy. It's like always one of the best parts of every year. And so I went into it expecting a lot, but this was probably the best camp I've ever been a part of. And I think that, you know, from what I said earlier about the intentionality, like all our leaders and all the leaders at the camp were purposefully using every single moment to point us towards the Lord. I think that's a big part of it. Another part of it is, of course, we're doing like cool activities in one of the most beautiful places in Oregon. That contributes slightly. But then also, it just felt like being disconnected from all the distractions and from all the busyness and everything that we've ever known, just being disconnected from it and focusing on one single thing, which was Jesus. And from that, growing closer to each other and to the Lord, it was an atmosphere that it'd be impossible not to see that the Lord was moving in.
That's awesome. All right, you can keep that mic, Christian. And why don't we all return to our seats, or you all. And while they're going back to their seats, we're going to play a short video here for you.
I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah, that's my king. That's my king.
So it's kind of hard to follow that. Believe that or not, that's from a sermon that's probably around like an hour long. And there's a section there where he keeps going. And I mean, he is going and going and going. And the reason being is because we could spend the rest of this year, I mean, and not just Sundays, every single day until this year is over, and we could discuss Jesus, and we could never fully describe Jesus, his identity, his character, who he is, what he does, what he did, what he continues to do. I mean, we could go on, and we could never fully describe him. Throughout Scripture, there are actually hundreds of names for Jesus. Maybe you thought it was just Jesus or Son of God or the Savior. There are hundreds of names for Jesus. Many of those that gentleman shared with us in that short clip there. But Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author of our salvation. He's the bread of life. He's the great I am. He's the creator, glory of the Lord, our great high priest, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. He is called Mighty God in Scripture, the image of God, the Son of God, and simply God. Jesus himself in the book of John said that he is the resurrection and the life, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And in John, we also read that he is the Christ, the Savior of the world. At camp, we looked at a passage out of John 8 where we read that Jesus said he was the light of the world. And then we flipped over to John 10 where he said that he is the door and that he is the good shepherd. But the question goes back to what that pastor in that video asked multiple times over and over and over is, do you know him? Oh, I wonder, do you know him? And that was the focus of our camp. And I want to make that the focus of this morning. Who is Jesus to you personally? And throughout the week, we passed this journal around that had these two words written on it. And that's a picture of it. Can't see it. Jesus is dot, dot, dot. And what we told the students going into it on night one was during camp, there's going to be times where after devotionals or in the morning during solo time or after evening chapel, when we're going to have alone time and we're going to have time to reflect. And there were questions that were asked. And in addition to those questions, I let them know that this book is going to be passed around, this journal. And when it says Jesus is, when the book comes to you, if you feel led to do so, I would like for you to open it up and simply write, who is Jesus to you personally? Not only that he's called Mighty God in Scripture, the angel of the Lord, the Alpha and Omega, not only that, but who is he to you personally? And here, I want to read a few from the students, from your Living Faith youth. They wrote this, and this is not all of them. My calm and peace in the storm, the one I run to, the one I look to in a time of need, my best friend, my rock and firm foundation, the father I never really had. He's my savior, the Lord of my life, the only source of my true joy, the friend that I can always count on to be for me, not against me. He's master, boss, God, almighty creator. And another one went on. He is my help. He's my savior and my firm foundation. He's my friend. He makes me feel safe when I'm afraid. Most importantly, though, he is my savior. The one I call out to when things go wrong or when I need strength. When I'm surrounded by people who need a light, I can pray for the words to say and share Jesus with them. He is my way through the darkness, my savior and my provider. Jesus is my everything. He is always with me and always for me. Jesus is my loving father. He's the Son of God. He means everything to me. He's my friend and my father, the one who calms me through the hard times. And I enjoyed this one that a student tried to hide from me in the middle of the book. I found it. Jesus is the perfect example of the perfect life lived. He's the best father and brother and everything that I could ever ask for. I thought those were really awesome, and I wanted to share them with you guys. And again, that's directly from the students themselves. But what I want to do this morning is I want to look at a passage of scripture that we covered while at camp. And we won't go very in-depth with this passage, but I do want to talk about a few things so that you have a practical application to take away this morning. So why don't you go ahead and open your Bibles to John chapter 10, or if you've got a Bible app, push whatever button you got to push to get to John chapter 10. And we're going to look at that passage of scripture where Jesus talks about being the door and the good shepherd. And we're going to start at verse 9. Now again, keep in mind here, in case your Bible does not have the words in red, that this is Jesus himself speaking. So in John chapter 10, in verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the door. Enter by me and you will be saved. You will go in and out and you will find pasture." Just put this picture in your mind. Back then, a sheep pen or the sheepfold was typically made with a rock wall as the perimeter. And so the rock wall was in a circular shape, typically speaking, and it was there to protect the sheep. And it was there, of course, so that the shepherd didn't lose the sheep. But there was only one way in to this sheepfold, and that was the entrance at the front, where the shepherd himself would lie. So the sheep had to enter by the shepherd in order to go into the sheep pen. And at the same time, the shepherd was lying there at night and throughout times in the day to protect the sheep, to keep thieves and predators out. And so notice here that Jesus says, "I am the door." Think about the picture. He is the shepherd. He is the one protecting the sheep. He is the one who has herded them into his flock. And he says that, "I am the door." And here, when Jesus claims this, he is claiming that he is the door of salvation. Enter by me and you will be saved. From our study in the book of Acts, we read in Acts 4:12 that, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." But not only are we saved, you can go in and out and you can find pasture because Jesus came to give you life abundantly. That is life to the full. Warren Wiersbe put it this way: "As you go in and out, you enjoy abundant life in the rich pastures of the Lord. His sheep enjoy fullness and freedom." And listen to this piece. Jesus not only gave his life for us, but he gives his life to us right now. For the present tense, that you can have abundant life here and now. Eternal life is not just off in the great by and by. Eternal life starts at the moment of salvation. And Jesus came to give you that life and to give it to you abundantly. And in verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling," that is a hired hand, "he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling. He does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." So Jesus is the good shepherd that laid down his life for his sheep. And now there in verse 14, notice what he says. He says that, "I know my sheep," so he knows them personally. And at the same time, he is known by his sheep personally. So again, the question is, do you know him personally? As we close this passage out, we're going to skip a few verses here. And we're going to jump down to verse 24. The Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Listen to what Jesus says. He answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Tuesday night when we got to camp, Christian shared his testimony with the students there on that first night. And as he closed out sharing his testimony, he presented the students with two questions for them to go and have a time of reflection. The first question was simply that: do you know Jesus? Do you have a personal relationship with him? That's my question for you this morning, is do you know him? Maybe you hear the Good Shepherd calling you this morning, calling you into a relationship with him. Or perhaps maybe you're already one of his sheep, but you hear his voice this morning calling you back from where you've been. You know, we're commonly referred to as sheep in Scripture, and it's kind of a humbling reference because sheep are not that smart. But one thing about sheep is that they're prone to wander off. So perhaps maybe you've wandered off. And maybe the Good Shepherd is calling you this morning saying, "Come back and follow me. Hear my voice. Spend time with me. Listen to me. Hear from me. And follow me." So are you following Jesus this morning? And an awesome promise for each and every one of us in here this morning. If you're not in Christ, here's a promise directly from his word. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Who can give you eternal life? Who has given you eternal life? Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can give you eternal life. Jesus went on to pray in his high priestly prayer in John 17:3. And he said, "And this is eternal life." What is eternal life? This is eternal life. "That they may know you, the only true God, and the one whom you have sent, Jesus Christ." That is eternal life. And here, notice he says, "No one shall snatch them out of my hand." And this is why I'm a firm believer of once saved, always saved, if truly saved. If truly saved. But what a promise that is. But it only applies to you this morning and throughout life if you have a relationship with Jesus. If you've placed your faith in him. If you're saved by his grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. And Warren Wiersbe put it this way: "While the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient for the salvation of the world, it is efficient only for those who will believe." In other words, yes, Jesus is the Good Shepherd, but it doesn't do anything for you if he's not your Good Shepherd. Yes, he's the Savior of the world, but is he your Savior? In this passage of Scripture, we essentially have the gospel. Because if you look, Jesus said, "Who laid down his life for the sheep?" Jesus did. He laid down his life. Who killed Jesus? Jesus laid down his life. He came. He chose to leave perfect heaven. He chose to live a perfect life and take a criminal's cross with you on his mind. His mission statement being found in Luke 19:10, that he came to seek and save that which is lost. And that was us, right? And he had us on his mind. But there in verse 18, he says, "No one takes it from me," speaking of his life. "I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again through the resurrection. This command I have received from my Father." So the gospel, the good news, in order for there to be good news, there has to be bad news. The bad news is Romans 3:23, that we're all sinners, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's every single one of us. We are sinners in need of a Savior, and we are eternally separated from God Almighty because of our sin, because he's perfect, just, and holy, and righteous, and he's in heaven where no sin can enter, or it would no longer be heaven. It would no longer be perfection. It would no longer be God's dwelling place. So what could we do to bridge that gap? Nothing. How can you work your way to heaven? You can't. Jesus said the only work is to believe in him, to call upon him, and to be saved from your sin. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved, is what we're told in Scripture. So I want to close with this as I invite the worship team back up with two questions for you as you leave this morning. The first question is simply that: do you know him? Do you know Jesus personally? If you had an opportunity to write in this journal this morning that starts off with Jesus is dot, 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 what would you put in there in your mind right now? Who is Jesus to you? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Is he calling out to you right now saying, come, come to me. Come enjoy the free gift of salvation. Trust me, place your faith in me. What I did on Calvary's cross, that I paid the price for your sin and that I rose on the third day. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, we always have prayer partners in the back of the room during this last song. And I'm inviting you back there to come, and we would love to tell you about Jesus. And I would love for today to be the day of salvation for you, to save you for all of eternity. At the same time, if you've wandered off and you're not living how Jesus has called you to live, do you hear his voice this morning calling you, saying, come back to me. Come back into the sheep pen. Go in and out and find pasture, that true satisfaction. I came to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. But follow me. I invite you to the back of the room. And for the person that simply just needs prayer this morning, I invite you, because we would love to pray with you. In fact, why don't we do that right now? Will you pray with me?
Thank you for listening to Associate Pastor Austin. Next week, Pastor Rich will continue in the ACT series. Join us every Sunday morning in person at 9 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. or online at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Watch our live stream on our website, YouTube, or Facebook. Our website is livingfaithklamath.com. Find our social media by searching for Living Faith Fellowship Klamath. You can also find all of our links in the description of this week's episode. All sermons are available on our website. Find resources at the top and then click on sermons. If you want to show your appreciation, you can tell others about us, subscribe to our podcast, and you can also leave a review so more people can hear the Word of God. Thank you again, and God bless you.